give me an example of a case where, for example, it was unseen, but there remained some physical evidence that we could, you know.
Okay. Well, one of the cases I go into occurred in 1948. And, of course, we know, the abduction phenomenon did not really become a public issue or known, really, anywhere around the world in any great depth until the Betty and Barney Hill case came to light in 1966.
Right.
It occurred in 61. But we're talking now 48. This is 1 year after Roswell. And in that particular case, the woman I was dealing with was a very young child at the time, and she and her brother were put down for naps in their bedroom in the middle of the afternoon in Cincinnati, Ohio, by their mother, who I've had been able to interview upon several occasions, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what the mother and everyone recalled consciously, and I should point out, incidentally, that the central figure in this case, the woman who I have given them a assumed name to, has had many, many abduction experiences the rest of her life, all kinds of issues. This is one that she didn't bring up to me at first because she didn't know what to make of it, and she couldn't remember the content of the abduction consciously. But what she did remember consciously, and her mother well remembered, is that the mother put them to bed in their little bedroom on the second floor of a building, really in the suburbs of Cincinnati. The next thing the mother knew was that somebody came tearing up the stairs saying that the children were outside on the ground at the basement of the cellar steps, her children, both of them, and that they must have fallen out the window. The mother went panicked, went tearing downstairs, and this central figure remembered that she sort of woke up and she couldn't move. She was lying on top of her brother at the foot of these basement steps, which incidentally were not underneath any of the windows from the bedroom.
Right.
They had no memory of falling. They were both paralyzed and unable to speak. They were rushed to the hospital by a totally panicked mother and examined, and though they had fallen in effect because of the basement steps where they were found on cement, they had fallen three stories. There was not a mark on either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that had done any kind of damage, and yet they both remembered consciously going floating out the window and some kind of huge shadow over the house, and they couldn't remember exactly what happened consciously, but the point is that the doctor and everyone else, of course, involved said there's no possible way these children could have fallen three stories onto cement, which would have meant they would have had to have fallen at a diagonal instead of straight down.
Yes.
Without, you know, actually, there's a very serious possibility that they would have been absolutely killed. They could not have survived,
let alone
not have a mark on them. Under hypnosis, the entire experience came up. The woman described their being floated out the window, she and her little brother, and lifted up into the craft. And then when the experience was over, they were put down at this basement steps. And the brother remembers floating out the window. He doesn't remember, he does not want to undergo hypnosis, etc. But anyway, the basic point of all this is that there's a great deal of material about this in the book. The point is that this happened in broad daylight, in the middle of a suburban area with stores and buildings and everything around. Nobody saw a UFO. Nobody saw children come out a window, floating or falling or otherwise. Nobody heard any screams. There was no energy, no kind of injury to any of the people involved. And that's the kind of case which implies invisibility, and yet we have cases we deal with in the book where it becomes a much more tangible thing, for instance.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. I'm curious, that was a long time ago. Has there been any follow-up with these children since then?
Well, of course, I've been working with the mother, who is now in her 50s,
mm-hmm.
and she has a child, two children, actually, who are seemingly having abduction experiences from time to time, as if they are part of this ongoing kind of a study of a particular bloodline. The brother, who is now a man in his late 50s, does not want to look into this and is still suffering from a great deal of fear connected with his memory of that time of being paralyzed. When they were picked up and taken to the hospital, rushed to the hospital, they only regained the ability to move and speak over a period of between a half an hour and an hour. And again, there was no physical mark on them, no explanation of why they could not speak and why their bodies were paralyzed.
That's remarkable.